Oh, hey there.
How's it going?
Nice to have you. Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
What's up?
Well, you all right, Doug?
COVID.
You ready for it? No, hey, let's not joke about that.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for tuning in. We do appreciate you. And I think, you know, you clicked on this podcast because you saw the guest, and that's exciting, right? But first things first, we need to pay some respects to the veterans of this beautiful country.
Absolutely.
And the veteran shout out this week is brought to you by musket powder. And musket powder is a seasoning, and it's quite delicious. You can put a little on your beer. I got the red label here.
Go for it.
If you go back a few episodes, I got some of this in my eye on accident.
Yep.
And
don't do that.
The musket powder was flowing that night.
It's got a little kick to it when you put it in your eye. But no, it actually is really good. I've been playing around with this. It's great on venison. I did burgers with it, mixed the black label in with it. And then before I put it on the grill, I heavily seasoned the outside and then grilled it with it, the spicy, the red label on it. It was awesome. But he said, hey, I'd like to sponsor a veteran shout out and give a seasoning pack to one of the veterans on the shout out segment. So very nice of him. Very cool. Great product.
That was very nice of him.
It's delicious. And Doug is going to take away the veteran shout out this week.
You boys ready?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Don't fuck up.
See if you can't butcher a name.
Shut up, dude. This was submitted by Roy Squires, and the veteran is Zach Squires. He's in the U.S. Army, and it says, even while Zach was in the Army, his desire for bow hunting never let up. He still found time and areas to hunt every chance he had. He's a great dad and husband, and his passion for teaching his son, Trevor, all about bow hunting. I'm very proud, and I love him. From Zach's dad.
That's awesome. Nice of you.
That Zach's is nice dad. Of him.
And thank you, Zach, for
nice
service,
you,
man.
We thank do you, Zach.
Appreciate both thank of you for you, sending Zach. That in, and hopefully you like this seasoning and can put it on all your tasty treats. And you sprinkle a little bit on your beer. I'm going to do that right now, actually, in honor.
Are you doing it right now?
Yeah, just, you know, in honor of...
For Zach?
Yeah, for Zach. And,
a little pinch?
Yeah, I'm probably going to get some in my eye.
Don't do that again,
shit,
please.
I dumped a lot in, but that's okay.
Yeah, you got to be easy with that when you're dumping in there.
You've done that twice now.
Yeah,
really pour it in there.
Hey. That's all you got in your eye last time, you dummy.
Ease up, all right?
Take it easy.
Hey, I'm new. I don't know what to do.
I'm new.
If you'd like to submit a veteran for the veteran shout-out, workingclassbowhunter.com. Hit the contact tab at the top, and there's a form down there, and just fill it out, and we definitely try to get to every person that we can on every episode. It might be a few, but we'll try to get to them. So thanks, guys, for submitting that. The podcast is brought to you by HHA Sports. And super thankful for that partnership. They've been great to us. They make a great product. In my opinion, the best in the biz when it comes to archery sights and single pin sights. So we're very thankful that they support us with all the crazy stuff we do. And they gave a code out for our listeners at WCB15 if you'd like to get into a single pin sight of your own with a lifetime warranty or a drop away rest with a lifetime warranty. That supports our veterans. Very cool.
I guarantee, like, I've tried to break this thing. Like, I'm not easy on shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think any of us are.
No. And I just, it's never broke on me.
I watched my dad fall on his in Colorado when we were elk hunting, and I was like, oh. It was one of those things like, oh, fuck.
Oh, we're screwed. Like,
you better recite that in.
Yeah, I'm like, we got to go back to camp and check this. And it was good, man. Bulletproof. I'm like, I don't know
crazy.
How. Because he fell on it.
Your you dad know, just falls on you. Like, well, I guess I'm up.
I was like, I'm shooting first pops.
You know, so. Have you ever, like, pulled up the tree stand and just, like, clink, 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 like, off every step. You're like, God damn it.
Yeah. Oops.
Is there a magnet on this thing? What the hell?
The podcast is also brought to you by Scent Crusher. Check out the Rapid Mobile Shower. There's Working Class Bowhunter Edition. It has our logo embroidered on it. Pretty damn cool. We're pretty honored
super
to have,
cool.
Pretty honored to have that opportunity through a respected brand like Scent Crusher. They have the closets, the bags, everything you need for true scent elimination with ozone technology. See, you add technology to words, and it makes it sound like super like high level.
And why not help yourself out, you know? Right. Kill that scent.
And you can use it all year long, not just for hunting.
That's true. Like, we have the room cleaning here, the Halo series, and we will be running that unit after every podcast because just a bunch of sweaty dad bods in here.
I like how the new room clean goes to 120 now. Really runs it.
Runner.
Oh, it does?
And it's sleek looking. Yeah, you hold that button on there and crank it up. And it's quiet. It's quieter than the other version. Podcast also brought to you by Loophold. Very thankful to have a highly respected, high-end brand like Loophold to support all of our wage brands, really, what we do. They believe in us for some reason, but you know, hardcore bow hunters, we're using the shit out of those binos and range finders, from the 3D range to practicing in the yard to out of a tree stand to our ventures out west. So
all the time,
very thankful for Leupold and their performance eyewear. I love, dude, those things are badass. I just
got these bad boys, and
trust me,
they're nice.
Are you rocking those now?
I was rocking.
That's a good pair.
I've worn some shitty sunglasses in my day.
Yeah.
And these fuckers are really nice.
You can tell when you put on a nice pair of sunglasses.
Oh, yeah. They're going to use that quote from Eric. I wore some shitty pairs of sunglasses in my day, and these are really nice.
These fuckers are nice.
I had a legit pair of Ray-Bans one time, and they got smashed. And then I had a off-brand fake pair of Ray-Bans from Mexico, and I stepped on them. Roy-Bans, but I make sure not to do that with my Leupold shades because right. I really actually like them. Yeah.
Actually use the case.
And I feel cool when it says Leupold on the side. I'm like, yeah, see, I'm a hunter, but I'm fashionable.
Like, hey, where'd you get those? He's like, you don't want to know.
If you got to ask, you don't even need to know. God, they love that plug, right? Podcast is also brought to you by Thermoseat. Everybody knows Thermoseat, I feel like, and that's a terrible plug. You already know Thermoseat. We don't need to talk about it. Tree stand seats, hang on seats.
I feel like if you're new to the hunting game, you've heard of Thermoseat.
Yeah, it's like a classic brand, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
And also brought to you by Victory Archery. I feel one of the leaders in arrows.
Absolutely.
Rip TKOs are my arrows of choice. Doug, you're
same
shooting,
here.
And then you're shooting extortions, right?
Extortions.
Oh, you're extortions, huh?
Yep.
It's going to be a tough arrow. Hey, you're going to hopefully knock down a... Antelope.
I hope so, man.
It's going to hit him hard.
And a buck. Been a while, huh?
Yeah. An antelope and a buck.
Hey.
I'm going for two.
This is the year.
It's your year, man.
I know it.
Gator Outdoors, lifestyle brand, outfitting the working class.
That's right.
And they also, GatorOutdoors.com. You can buy all your favorite brands through Gator. Great people there. We have some podcasts coming down the rope with some Gator boys here.
I saw Wade throwing some shade at Eric today.
Yeah, he was.
Eric accidentally sent him a Wisconsin working class boner hat, and he lives in Iowa.
I said we should fire him.
Hey, you know what?
The funny thing is he's wearing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's wearing it.
He's rocking it. Hey, he likes it.
Wisconsin. Hey, who doesn't like cheese curds?
Hey, a little sneak peek to the podcast. Wisconsin's the PA of the Midwest.
Ooh, a little sneak peek.
Dipping your toes.
Now, also, Lead Archery, we are all shooting The Cure. Got to love it. Big time. Hope we got your fall plots in, or if you're running mineral, if it's legal in your area, supplemental feed.
Putting some out tomorrow.
Code WCB2020 saves you 20% on everything at Big Time. Hunter's Blend Coffee, Old Barn Taxidermy. I got a teddy bear coming from Old Barn here soon. I'm jacked. Probably a year I'll have it, but a year from when I shot it.
A pile of critters there, man.
Feels good.
See, I just like to go there and hang out, and not take anything there.
So that's what I do. Yeah, I haven't even been there. I haven't took a single thing there.
It's your year.
That's my year.
What about me?
It's not your year, dog.
It might be your year. You might be in.
I don't know.
You're good, man. Thank you to all our great partners. Thank you for everyone for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the podcast. It was a lot of fun. It's about time we had this top level guest on the show.
That's right.
He's somebody that we wanted to chat with for a long time. And finally made it happen. So it's pretty cool, and hopefully there's more to come with old Kip. So enjoy it.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bowhunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bowhunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bowhunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
Okay, we have Kip Campbell from Red Arrow on the podcast, and I feel like this has been a long time coming, but thank you for joining the podcast, sir.
Absolutely, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
So, you probably don't know anything about us, but we have mutual friends in the industry, And it seems like you're like the one challenge to get on the podcast. You're like the one person we haven't had on. So it's finally happening. So thank you.
No worries, man. I hide a lot. So
hey, I don't blame you. Especially in 2020, shit's getting real weird. Yeah, so
it is, man. Definitely.
So, man, Red Arrow is a fun show. Like, you have a great personality in there. And how did you come up with the idea to start the show? Like, where did like the whole roots of it start?
So, I guess I got the thought back in high school. I just had the thought, but it was more kind of, wouldn't it be cool to have a TV show based on just watching like Monster Bucks videos and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Then I got to college and realized that I hadn't really thought college through much further than playing lacrosse and chasing girls. So,
right.
Not the worst plan.
Well mapped out plan. So I kind of had this moment. I realized that one of my professors, I don't really want to label him too bad, but he seemed like a lefty.
Right. Okay. So, we're following you.
Yeah. Like, you know. So he seemed like one of these lefties. I don't want to like call him, go ahead, like teetotal, call him a Marxist, but he seemed like one of the guys that would sit at a French cafe and talk crap about America. So
right,
we didn't get along right off the bat. And he criticized me for saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and different things like that. And in lieu of beating the crap out of my professor, I decided to switch majors. And I landed in communications just because it was the major that people seemed to go to when they weren't really sure what they wanted to do. at least at our school, unless you were going to be like a, you know, straight up. I was a broadcast journalism major, but yeah, I had no intention of being an anchorman or anything. So,
right.
So I thought to myself, long story short, I was sitting in class and I was like, all right, how do I hunt and not come to class and still not flunk out? And so I started checking out the cameras for the weekend. He said I was working on school projects and I was filming hunting videos. And anyway, I put them together and convinced my professors, a couple of them in a couple of my major courses. I said, look, when it had to do with editing or broadcast journalism, I said, I'm not going to come to class anymore. But only when I have to like take a test or an exam or whatever, I'm going to go out and make these hunting videos. So I don't know if it went exactly like that, but I basically got to miss a lot of class and made the pilot for Red Arrow while I was in school.
No kidding.
Pretty good deal.
That is awesome.
So how long ago was that? I mean, I'm not trying to put an age on you here, but like, I just want to...
I don't care, man. It's been... If I didn't take that year off for health reasons, Lyme disease and all that stuff that I was dealing with, if I hadn't taken that year off, we'd be in season 13.
No. Jeez, kidding, man.
That's freaking awesome.
Congratulations.
Season 12. I think we're just going to do our season like a hotel elevator and just not have 13. We're going to move straight to 14 next year.
That would actually be really funny.
That'd 13, be hilarious.
Yeah, because 13 actually fell during the coronavirus and, you know, Black Lives Matter burning the country down and all this crazy crap that's going on right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave Antifa out. I meant to say that. Yeah. I want to give credit where credit's due, man.
Yeah. We have a big listener base of Antifa, so thank you for, you know, hitting really? That. Yeah, yeah. They're
I'm telling them to kiss my ass.
Yeah, there are a harsher crowd of listeners, but fuck them.
We're big fans of theirs.
Yeah, big fans of theirs, yeah. But so that's crazy, man. So that's a long haul. So it's
I didn't mean to sound harsh by saying kiss my ass. And what I meant to say was I have a Bible sitting here, and I got an AR-15. I can tell you about Jesus, or I can send you to meet him. So those are the two options.
That was
convert or die, basically. So.
Well, so saying kiss my ass would probably be one of the lighter things we say. We literally say whatever we want on the show. So you're clear. You're a saint compared to us. So is it always been? Has Red Arrow always been the name in mind that you had from the beginning until now? I mean, obviously,
no,
until now,
dude. I had some corny stuff back in college. I think when anybody, or not anybody, in my experience, when I first started, I tried to sound and act like I thought the hunting TV show host guy should sound and act.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody goes through that.
I was copying, you know, copying what, and I love him. He's one of the heroes of the industry because he made it possible for guys like us to get on TV and get paid to hunt deer. But like Jackie Bushman, you know, that old style of, hey, folks, I'm here today in Montana, and I'm sitting in my tree you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I did that for a while, and we had a couple different names, and it turned out, you know, we were just dumb college kids. We didn't look into getting a federal trademark and anything like that. So we didn't do our research and came out of college and went, oh yeah, those are already taken. So we ended up having we had just got done shooting a bunch of deer at my buddy's house, and there was a couple of bloody arrows in the corner of his shop, and we're actually sitting there watching monster bucks, and that's when I came up with the name for it.
That's awesome, so, man.
Yeah.
That's cool to hear. Like, we talk about that a lot on the show, like the platform of what the industry, like, standard was and how it's changing, you know, from being that boxed in style to kind of like what you and Bone Collector and different guys are doing. I think a lot podcasts are changing a lot of it too, because it's just, you know, it's hard to be boxed in for like a long conversation, you know.
Yeah, so. No, absolutely, man, absolutely, and the, everything's changing how people receive their entertainment and everything. That's why we switched channels, you know, this year, mm-hmm. because of that, just to have the freedom to kind of branch out. And we're playing with collecting a few podcasts right now to mess around with that a little bit. But
very cool.
Yeah, just being able to send it out to the masses and get the information out there and break the mold on format where you don't have to have exactly, you know, 22 minutes of content or whatever it is. But
yeah, you can just let it ride.
Yeah. And you can get by with making content off of your opinion, which I think a lot of people, you know, like to hear an uncut, out from underneath of maybe, you know, corporate sponsorship type stuff. Cause
yeah,
the hunting industry, let's be honest, you gotta be careful when you're juggling a handful of sponsors. I just made, you know, early on, I kind of set the tone and said, hey, we're going to be this way. And sponsors kind of, the wrong ones fell by the wayside because of that. Like, you can't say that. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's what I'm going to say. You can be the sponsor. Dude, I was cocky.
I said what I said.
Yeah, I was cocky even when we were poor back in the day when I actually needed that, whatever, you know, that little
$5,000,
$10,000 sponsorship or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I needed it, and they were like, oh, you're not going to find this anywhere else. I'm like, yeah, I probably will, or maybe I won't, but either way, I'm not hanging out with you.
That's a cool attitude, man. That's cool to hear that you had that early on, especially, you know, yeah, comparing it to, like, what we're doing, you know, right. And different relationships we have with
that's
partners.
That's nice
and
about
stuff.
It, about your show, Kip, is it's so entertaining. You know, you make it fun, you make it funny. Like, I was just watching an episode, and you wore a damn chicken suit to the tree stand.
Yeah. Idiot. Yeah,
I thought you were going to pull that dough off, man.
Oh man, I was, yeah, it was bad. Realtree, it does work pretty well. Better than the chicken suit. Better than the chicken suit.
Can confirm.
So when did you notice a point from the beginning, you know, to, I guess what I'm trying to get is, was there a change in the success or popularity of your show when you were like, wow, things are different now? Was there ever like that turning point?
Yeah, it all kind of came together really in year five, I think, because we, you know, my wife and I, it was a crazy up and down spiritual journey. It's funny how you go on the spiritual journeys when you're dirt poor and don't know, you think you've ruined your whole entire life. You tend to call out to God in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to say, like, oh man, this is not going well. I think I've just wasted the last 5 years of my life, and we're probably going to be in debt forever, and I'm going to ruin my kids' life. Like, I mean, you get into that mindset, and I'll just be honest, man, we were there because we bought in. We just went all in the beginning, which was, you know, lots of people advised us not to, and we had a bunch of investors that we could have gone with or whatever, and we'd had hands in our pockets for the rest of our lives if we'd have done that. So,
right.
You know, but year five, I got to give some credit to, you know, the show started to gain some popularity. In year four, we broke even. We weren't making any money, but we had broke even in what we were spending.
Mm-hmm.
It
was like supporting itself at that point.
Yeah. Like it just broke even. And then year five, we actually turned the first profit, but that was because we got Ram as a title sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
So, and at the time, we had been using some of Zach Brown's music, Zach Brown Band, and a couple of his people under his label. And he actually got us the meeting with Ram that actually ended up landing us that sponsorship. So And that was the first time we had a true, you know, true title sponsor.
Yeah, way to hit it big right out the gate
with no title shit. Sponsor.
A whammy.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's I think that was our turning point for sure, is we hit that you know, we actually turned a profit year, and then after that, and the momentum was there from year four. Like I said, the popularity was there, and then we just, it was a lot easier to have conversations that year, the year five, with sponsors. Cause you know, when you're starting anything, especially in the sponsorship, you know, partnership game like that, they just say, basically, you're probably not going to make it. Call me in 3 years if you're still in the industry, is the conversation that a lot of people had with us, which I don't blame them. I'm the same way, you know, like.
Yeah, we got to have something to put up, you know, to get put out, yeah. So.
That's right.
But, yeah, that's interesting, man. So that's cool to hear that. I always wondered that with, like, successful shows or people that are, you know, considered a personality, that there was a changing point, or if you just started going to Bass Pro and people were like, hey, you're that dude from Red Arrow, you know?
Yeah.
5 seasons is a long time to struggle.
I was having a lot of conversations with people at my local grocery store, and the conversation kind of went, and not everybody, but you'd run into somebody you knew from back in the day, and they'd be like, hey, man, you still messing with that hunting crap or what? You know, like, it was like, it was a joke. Like, I was just playing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And if, you know, year one, two, and three, you kind of, yeah, I'm still messing with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Then you land, you know, you land a couple good sponsors, and now you're making a living. You kind of hold your head up a little bit more, and you say, yep, still messing with it. You don't say anything different, but you're like, yeah, I'm still messing with hunting crap. And then the same dude will come back to you 6 months later and be like, oh, man, I saw you on Sunday night. Oh, you're on Outdoor Channel, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's like the best. That's like the best.
Pull up the grocery store in a brand new truck, too.
Yeah, yeah. Check out some Rams.
Yeah. brand new truck, same cheap beer.
Yep.
Right.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's like the biggest, like, it's a humble brag at that point. Yeah. You didn't have to do anything. He just saw it and realized, and you're like, I got you, finally.
Oh, yeah. Then they come, hey, man. You ever want to come hunt at my place, man? I got.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, I'm good, bro. I'm good.
It's like that meme you see online. It's like, hey, dude, we should hunt together, and it's got Pinocchio. Yeah for sure, dude.
Yeah, I'll see you guys there. Yeah. Give him the old Happy Gilmore, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like, cool, yeah, definitely. That's funny, man.
That character, it's funny how that personality type is the same across, like, 20 different people I've run into, but it, you know, they're always, they switch real quick because they're ready to lay the I told you so boots into you, and then all of a sudden it's kind of like, oh dang, man,
oh dang, he's actually doing something with this shit.
Yeah, that's cool.
I like to see their face, like, when they finally see you on TV, like the first time they saw you, it's like, oh shit, I know that guy.
Well, isn't it, do you have this experience, Kip? Do you feel that a lot of the local people are kind of the first, there's a lot of local supporters, of course, you know, but those are the first people that doubt you and hate on you?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, absolutely, man. It's just like, if you get up and speak at your old high school, at least I, you know, or at your church or somewhere where everybody watched you grow up, I'm far more nervous. I could go to, you know, Yankee Stadium and speak to like a million strangers and not be nervous at all. But if I get in front of people that just, you know, think of you as, oh, there's little snot-nosed Kip Campbell over there that he's still messing with that hunting crap or whatever it is, you know, like,
yeah, it's like the prejudgment weight.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it definitely is.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting.
It's like, if I walk hard, you're never going to make it.
Well, I was just curious with that because, you know, I mean, we're no Red Arrow, but I feel that way too. Like, are the biggest doubters of what we're doing with our brand, they're local people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're people that already have, like, a prejudgment on us or think they know this or know, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff. Where, and our biggest supporters are people we've never met that we will meet at a show or at a bow shoot. And then we're like, we end up being, like, really good friends with those people, you know, because they're not, they don't have this prejudgment on us.
Absolutely, man. Like, my dad's a retired police officer, and once he retired, he stays at the old home place out there on the farm, and he didn't get out a whole lot. And it was hilarious because I took him to Montana, so obviously we stopped at a lot of gas stations along the way.
Yeah.
And he was blown away. I got more of a kick out of it just watching him freak out about people, you know, asking for an autograph or whatever it is. And it was just crazy because it blew his mind. That's my dad. You know, he knows I'm on TV. He knows we got all these sponsors and whatever else. But seeing it out in the public just blew his mind. It was really funny to watch.
That's really cool. That's a cool story to hear. That,
yeah, it is.
I was hoping to get something like that out of asking you those questions, you know. And yeah. I mean, do you ever, and this, I know the answer, I think, to this, but I'm curious to see, like, do you ever get tired of getting stopped, or like, do you ever stop and just realize, like, man, I could be a coal miner instead of doing this? You know what I mean? Like, does it ever hit you that you're living? I mean, I don't want to, I'm not trying to like fluff you up, but you see what I'm getting at here a little bit. You're living what most people dream about.
I'm living the dream, man. No doubt about it, man. It's, you know, I think I'll never get tired of talking to people and people that appreciate what you do, because there's going to come a day, it's going to happen to everybody, where nobody's going to care.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, when that time's going to come, I don't know. Hopefully I'll have stepped aside before then and passed the company to somebody else, but, one of my kids or whoever wants to take it over. But, yeah, man, you gotta be humble and realize I, if anything, go the other direction. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like kind of, I have to be careful of getting too down on myself. Like, I, you know, who am I to all this stuff? And I constantly think, it's a real easy pitfall for me to get into, to constantly think how much better we could be doing, or if we'd have made this decision, or that, or this. And you tend not to sort of look around and appreciate the moment when you get like that. And I've tried to, especially in the last year, I've really, I appreciate it a lot, slow down enough to appreciate it a lot more.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool to hear, man, because that mindset keeps you motivated to keep doing bigger stuff and keep grinding and all that stuff. Because, and I don't know if you want to talk about the whole, like, the Lyme disease situation. If you, I would like to, but if you don't want to, I completely understand too.
I'll talk about any of it, man. Because
I mean, if you want to go into it, because it, I mean, you still are hot, but you were in the prime of hotness from my perspective, right? Of like popularity and success and all that.
Well, in Lyme disease, I think everyone needs to kind of know about it and be familiar with it.
It's been a weird, not just because of 2020, but it's been a weird couple of years for us, just because for sort of a unknown amount of time, I had Lyme's in my system. And the way it affects your body is it can run, especially we're running up and down the road. I'm not exactly living right or taking care of myself on the road. I'm just thinking, you know, I'll freaking sleep when I'm dead or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And I was living that kind of lifestyle. And then got the Lyme disease somewhere along the way, and it reactivated mono in my system from when I got mono back in high school or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which all of a sudden, you know, then that's when I actually noticed it. It actually probably saved my life, because the Lyme's was attacking different systems in my body. One of them was my adrenal glands, and I was having heart palpitations. I got rushed to the emergency room twice in an ambulance because I thought I was having a heart attack. I don't even know if I've ever told anybody that before, outside of like friends and family. But anyway, it scared me. I mean, you think about, you know, and it actually really screwed me up mentally. So all that happened over the course of 2 years, and we decided to take that year off the road. But even once I got back on the road, I was messed up in the head from that, man.
I mean,
I told my kids and my wife goodbye, basically. I mean, I told my wife, this is it. I love you. I'm gone. You know what I mean?
Jesus.
And, and that happened twice, but I was sure I was, I mean, if, I don't know if anybody there has ever had the experience where you, at least in your mind, you're 100% convinced you're going to die.
Wow. No,
I've never been there, man.
Never had it. Never. That's never. Insane.
Yeah, my suggestion would be to start seeking God before that happens.
Yeah.
Because it kind of feels like you slept in and didn't study for a test when you try to figure it all out in like 10 seconds. You're like, well, I'm dying. Hey, Lord, I know like for the last 10 years we've had kind of an on and off again relationship, but I'd really like to make amends right now before I die in the next 5 minutes, if that'd be okay. You know, like
just start circling
there's
answers.
There's no worse feeling than that, man. So. Yeah, especially with all the craziness in 2020, that might be something that, you know, might need to cross people's minds. Yeah, before it gets on you, because Everything else is just procrastinating because we're all heading to the same place. You know, we're all heading to the same end eventually, whether you're, you know, whether it's tomorrow or when we're 95.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's sort of the stuff it got me thinking about, along with once I got on the other side of it. And I got to, you're not going to believe it, man. I mean, I could take you through all the 10 miracles that happened during that period of time, but we'd be here for 9 podcasts. But it was an incredible, horrible, terrifying 2 years of my life that completely changed my life forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll never ever be the same, and in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, it helped put things in perspective, and but yeah, believe it or not, so that sounds horrible. So if you think about it, my immune system was completely shot. I had Lyme disease, reactivated mono. I was having heart palpitations that were making me jump out of bed at night thinking I was having a heart attack.
Man,
that's crazy. I ended up getting on like all this different medicine for, you know, as precautions because they didn't know what was going on with me. I spent a year going to doctors and trying to figure out, hey, what in the hell is, you know, what's wrong with me? I'm dying. What is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, through a whole lot of blood work and tests and all this stuff, we finally started getting some answers. And dude, I'm thinking, I'm at minimum going to find out that I've got some weird disorder,
right?
Some horrible, you know.
Well, I can't imagine.
Well, yeah, when you don't know, I'm sure just everything runs through your mind.
Well, dude, and I had like months at a time where they did blood work and it's like, I'll have the results in 3 or 4 weeks.
Damn, 3 or 4 weeks.
Shit. Like, I don't got that long, man.
Like, dude, I'm on WebMD freaking myself out every day.
Well, that's what I was doing, basically. And you know, but at first it bred a whole bunch of anxiety and fear and all this stuff and uncertainty and everything. But then it actually got me motivated to you know, like I said, take a closer look and not actually only seek after God when I was in trouble, because that was my pattern the whole entire life, was just, you know, not, I'm painting myself with a bad brush here, but I mean, just
everyone can relate to what you're saying, I think, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I think everybody's like that. Everybody, like every single Billy Graham's like that, but you know what I mean? Like everybody that's ever walked the earth is, when you get in trouble, that's when you start trying to figure things out. And
yeah, for sure.
But you know, and not that, but yeah, I don't know. So this is probably boring everybody to death, but
I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's something that, you know, all of us spend so much time in the woods, and this is something that can happen. You know, it sounds like yours was even a little worse because of the mono deal, but
it's a serious thing.
Yeah. I hunted with a guy who got Lyme's disease. He had it before I started hunting with him. He said he was sick for years. I think he was sick nonstop for 5 years, he said, and it was like having the hard flu every single day.
Yep. Wow. Well, here's something that'll freak you out even more. There's 100 and some different strains of it, and they can affect people differently. So, like, in other words, you know, you might get it and it might just mess your stomach up, and I might get it and it messes my adrenal glands up, and I start having heart palpitations and all this craziness, you know. So the problem is, it gets misdiagnosed so often because your average doctor is not well versed in that type of thing, and he just says, oh, heart palpitations, here's this kind of horrible medicine that'll destroy your liver and kill your kidneys, Merry Christmas, you know. I mean, that's basically good luck with so my thing is, treat a tick like a rattlesnake, and then if you do get something going on where you can't figure out what's wrong with you, you are 100% responsible for your own health. Don't just bebop on into one doctor and have one opinion and think that they've got your best interest in mind. You need to do some research and some doctors for yourself, because, you know, they're just humans like us trying to figure everything out. So,
man, did you go to like a specialist and then like they finally figured it out, or?
Yeah, a couple different ones. because the first person I went to, they basically said, they didn't even say definitively what I had. You probably got this thing, and it's probably just genetic. And so, here, take this medicine that's horrible and toxic. And I was like, nah, I ain't taking this stuff.
Yeah.
Next. And so we found the doctor. The next doctor goes, total opposite, total 180 from what this guy said. Oh, yeah, you can't tell if it's genetic. It's probably not even that. Let's do some blood tests. And I was like, holy crap, thank you. You know?
Yeah, yeah,
that's scary.
So, well, dude, I'm telling you, it psychologically, that experience of week to week, these weird things were happening where I would feel sick. I'd have these heart palpitations. I would have the heart palpitations started causing panic attacks because I would think I was dying. Like in the middle of the night, I'd wake up in a cold sweat and think I was dying. It was horrible, man.
Damn,
and
dude.
I've never told anybody this extent outside of my friends and family, but it seriously was just terrifying for a solid year. And so the easy part was killing the Lyme disease with medication and some other treatments. That was the easy part. The hard part was psychologically climbing out of the hole that it created in my life from all the uncertainty, and you think you're going to die, and there's all this.
Well, not to mention, you probably thought like your career was over and everything, all that stuff's going on.
Well, yeah, and just trying to plan all that stuff out.
Yeah.
For two years, think about this. For two solid years, I would be, and I faked it on TV, man. I just totally faked it. But every hunting camp I went to, I was inside. I was like, I can't be here. I have to leave. This is horrible. Like, I was having horrible anxiety because I'm like, I'd rather die at home with my family. I don't want to die out in some, you know, jerk water in Montana.
Yeah,
like,
you got that in the back of your mind while you're hunting, man. Trying to produce
that adds
a show.
That's a whole other layer of complication on that.
Yeah. Well, and then try to smile and shake a sponsor's hand and act like everything's okay, and then go try to shoot at a deer straight, you know, at 50 yards. It was horrible. I can't believe I didn't gut shoot everything I shot at.
Wow.
I mean,
man.
I was so tore up. So that's actually been the journey of the last, really just the last several months or the last year, is climbing out of that.
Yeah, so how are you feeling now, man, with everything, like health-wise, mentally? I mean, I don't go too deep, you know, but just, I mean, do you feel like you're on that fast track back to being you, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. And you know, it's brought me closer to my family. It's brought me closer to God. I dropped 55 pounds. I started lifting weights again. And there's still a struggle with, you know, because of that, it throws that uncertainty piece in your life where it shook me up really bad. And even now I have to fight the tendency to go, oh man, how am I going to go on the road? What if this happens or what if that happens? And it's just, you know, it's been a struggle, but yeah, I'm feeling great now, man. I'm ready to get back after it. But and here's the biggest kicker is, like, right when all that happened, I think it honestly saved my life, because if it wasn't for the getting the mono and starting to feel like crap, I wouldn't slow down, and who knows what could have happened. I mean, if I didn't start taking care of myself. So, but no, man, I'm feeling great now. I got the doctor straightened me out and got me on a diet, exercise, all my blood work. I had another round of blood work last month, and it came back, like, amazing.
Awesome, man.
Good.
So,
you're just a stallion now.
Yeah, you're some badass now.
I am cock locked and ready to rock now.
That's right.
So I was running around like freaking Ricky Bobby when he thought he was on fire there for a while.
Save me, Tom Cruise.
Help me put the imaginary anxiety out. Like, I didn't know what, you know, it was terrible, man.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Hey, we would have been there trying to put out the imaginary fire for you.
Just to help you mentally.
You know what, dude, that inspired me. I'm doing, because we started thinking, and honestly, it's just in the last few months, nobody's really known this either, where I felt 100% normal. For several months, I kind of smiled and played like, no, yeah, everything's going great with Red Arrow. And then I go breathe in a brown paper bag somewhere in the closet.
We're fucking great.
And, sure, you should invest with Red Arrow. It should be here for a while.
Super stable.
We're not going anywhere.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere. We're going to take over the industry. Holy crap, I'm going to go throw up. I'll see you in a second.
Yeah, go check out season 13.
But yeah, no, it's been a struggle, man. But I got, you know, I got plans to keep growing it and keep making it fun. I mean, that's the whole thing. I'm doing that skit, by the way, now that came up. I have to do it about imaginary fire.
Well,
yeah, you gotta
do it. Let's send you some working class bow hunter stuff and just low key have something on just to relate it back to the episode.
Oh, no, 100%, man. We can have whoever plays Cal Naughton Jr. wearing a.
We'll have, yeah, we'll have all three of us chasing you down.
Shake and bake, baby.
Damn.
Help me, David Blanton. Use your camouflage powers to cover up the anxiety.
David Blanton.
That's a friend right there.
Can you feel my legs?
Help me, Marvin Waffle House.
Ricky, you can
help
walk.
Me Ben Gordon.
Ben Gordon.
Ben Gordon. Marvin Waffle House, help me.
That's awesome, man. Well, let's go positive, and let's talk about the upcoming season because it's right around the corner. I mean,
there you go.
For I think, you know, talk about what's coming up. You know, what are you looking forward to the most? And then where everyone can watch and find Red Arrow if they don't already know. You know, just spinning it on a positive take.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So we made the move to Pursuit Channel. I'm really excited. Pursuit's numbers, if anybody wants to check it out, are incredible. We really excited about making that move because it frees us up to do a lot more creative stuff. Like, we really want to do a boat fishing series that's exclusively on YouTube. So we're putting that into works for maybe next spring. And we've got, you know, just opportunities like YouTube and everything, and being able to digitally stream the shows where people can get access to it besides just on standard TV. But, you know, we're really pumped about that. But as far as this year, we are kicking things off at the end of this month at 7J out in Wyoming with the Realtree guys, which has sort of become an annual thing.
Very cool.
But when we got really cool stuff lined up. I mean, Kansas, we got Oklahoma, Texas a few times. Doing a lot of hunting around here at the house because in the year off, man, it really kind of got me excited about hunting around here, and we've been food plotting and growing some pretty good deer around the house.
Very cool, man.
That was good.
Yeah, you guys are based, you know, out east. We're Illinois and Iowa boys. Sorry, I'm the only Illinois host now.
Iowa boys,
and we have a really strong listening base in Pennsylvania, and there's just a ton of hunters out east.
Oh yeah, a bunch of them.
So I imagine you probably feel a lot of that love from the eastern hunters. I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
I would assume that, but.
Oh yeah, man. It's and you know, we got a lot of PA fans, man, and there's a reason for that. There's so much, you know, we feel like we always run into guys from Pennsylvania at Outfitters, or, you know, I used to help out a guy on a charter boat, and it would always be parties from Pennsylvania, and I feel like it's because they're so densely populated, but they have such a heavy, heavy hunting culture, you know, from that. But,
yeah,
you know, that's why they end up hunting all over the country. And but same thing with us, man. It's high pressure and a lot of people hunting and some different sort of screwed up laws here and there, and it makes it tough. Sort of little fraternity of, you know, you grew up in the hunting suck. Just kind of why they relate.
For sure. Yeah, that's I noticed that a lot. Like all of our eastern hunter listeners are like the most hardcore. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin probably challenges some of those eastern states. It seems like people from Wisconsin are just jacked up. They're like Wisconsin's
mess around.
Yeah, Wisconsin's the PA of the Midwest.
Yeah. that's a very fitting analogy.
I pulled that out of my ass and I was like, "Man, hopefully this makes sense." And I kind of did, I guess.
No, it does. No, I feel that.
What's your favorite state to hunt?
Oh, man. Probably just from sheer numbers and different variety, Texas.
Oh, really?
And it's just because I don't ever have to worry. Like, you know, you go to these big buck states like Kansas and you worry like, oh, man, if I hope one, you know, I got a week and I got this tag and I hope one comes out that's big enough or whatever. In Texas, I'm just laying waste to anything that comes out. So, you know, it's laid back. I would say for big deer, Iowa consistently. I mean, we filmed so many Hell freaking 190s, 200, a couple 200-inchers.
But Illinois is pretty good, though, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not as good. He said Iowa first. But.
Well, it's
I need to find a spot in Illinois, man. I have lost all my contacts over the years in Illinois.
I can talk to some people for you. I know some guys that run hunters, and you know, we'll chat. I got some stuff in mind for you.
We got a guy.
We do have a guy with some studs.
Sounds good, man. Hook a brother up.
We can talk. We can definitely talk. You might have to. He's close enough to where we can podcast in camp, so you're going to have our dumbasses there. So if you can put up with that,
yeah. we'll put out your imaginary fire.
tell him I pay for my hunts too. It won't be any. Won't be any year one of Red Arrow begging for a free hunt.
Well, I'm sure he'd be willing to work with you for some publicity, but he probably didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Just drink a good whiskey and water with him, probably just do it just fine. But
that'd be good, yeah. Hey, it's amazing. It's amazing how far you can get getting permission on property with a handle of whiskey.
You know,
oh, absolutely.
That's not a lie either. You know, it's farmers appreciate that stuff because they're just used to guys taking advantage of them. Especially, you bring a case of beer by, they're like, holy shit.
30 rack of Bush Light. Yeah. They're all excited.
This guy means business.
Yeah.
Absolutely, especially this day and age, man. If you're just friendly with somebody nowadays, it shocks people stiff, you know.
Isn't that weird? Now it's like
it's really weird, man. The age of the freaking Karen. Everybody's so ready to be pissed.
Goddamn
off,
Karen!
You know?
Right.
It is. That's very strange. Where I live now, we just moved to my new house. My studio's in the house, so we just moved here. We haven't lived here a year. Haven't had the studio here a year. But I'm like talking to my neighbors and being friendly. And I notice, like, it's catching them off guard. Well, most of them are older, right? And I'm younger. So I think they're not used to younger people being friendly like that.
And you have tattoos. Yeah.
And it's weird because I have to, like, there's a couple-minute process of me explaining who I am and, like, oh, I just wanted to introduce myself and that's it, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So it's like that awkward feel-out process. Nobody does it anymore.
It's like, what do you want, young buck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, if you turn on the news, all you see is young people, you know, beating cops with skateboards and burning down City Hall. So I guess you know.
Well, yeah, that it doesn't help that I'm like tattooed. I'm fairly tattooed, so I think people automatically. Well, I don't know how to paint that picture right.
They're profiling. Well, see, that trend is coming gone too because it used to be. If you were sitting down in a restaurant, a white dude walked in with a neck tattoo of a spider, you'd be like, oh, man, hang on, honey, let's get back to the car. Now you're just like, oh, he's probably just a Democrat.
I'm definitely not a Democrat, but I don't have a spider neck tattoo. But
you should get one for sure.
Now I might have to consider it. I'll just get a Fig Newton tattoo.
I can't see a thing, but I sure do love Fig Newton.
This tattoo is dangerous and inconvenient.
I'm going to start selling my neck to sponsors that want to sponsor the podcast.
We'll go after Fig Newton first. Go.
I'll just get a Scent Crusher throat tattoo. Dan Drake's really, just throwing me cash.
There you go. That'll work, man. it could work. That's actually a good piece of real estate. If you shave a mohawk in your head every hunting season, you could sell the left and right side of your head.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Bad thing is I'd have to get it lasered off if it fell through or something, you know?
That's true. You can just grow your hair back, you know, for Christmas. They, the
they're pretty good at covering up. Just get the next sponsor.
Yeah. It's all black now.
Just keeps growing.
Yeah. How much does Red Arrow want to pay for my left side of my head?
I don't know, man. I'll talk to you about my gun company. We might want to buy the left side of your head.
I'd probably do it for you. You know, I got no, you know, at this point, tattoos are tattoos. Let's do it, you know?
Right. That's right, man. That's right.
Well, man, so I'm glad that you're back on the positive route, man. I do appreciate you talking about that. I didn't want to go down the dark rabbit hole, you know, especially if you didn't want to. But I do appreciate you bringing that to light.
As long as y'all come put the imaginary fire out if I need you to.
Oh, we got you, bud.
We got your back, man.
Yeah, we're here for you.
That was an inside joke between just me and my wife and a couple of my buddies. Now, now you and America are privy to it.
Now you're gonna be at trade shows. We were like trying to put the fire out on you.
I'm gonna be at a gas station in Iowa somewhere, and some dude's gonna be like, "You're not on fire, Ricky Bobby."
Yeah. Some dude in a working class bow hunter hat. You're just like, "Dude, get away from me!"
He's about to sock him.
Yeah, get away from me, you drunk Midwestern bastard. Go get your slice of Casey's pizza and get the hell away from me.
About to sock him, then you find out it's Jesus. But hit this dude.
It's messed up. Well, man, we'll let you get running. I know you got a busy schedule. You're trying to get Red Arrow back on track. You know, not that it was ever off track, but
yeah, no, I'm trying to make Red Arrow great again. So
yeah, it never fell off, man. I've been a fan for as long as I can remember, and you've been the most refreshing thing since Michael Waddell.
Yeah,
nice, man. I appreciate that, dude. Yeah, he was actually. One of the first conversations I had with any industry people was with Waddell, and he was just amazing how helpful and like humble he was. always, you know, always been a supporter of what we do, you know. So, and now he's a sponsor. I mean, if you look on our show, they're our closed captioning sponsor every year. So
yeah, that's a dream come true. He's kind of like the king right now, and
he is, man. Yeah, no doubt.
We've podcasted with Michael a couple times, and we know Bone well, and we've had all those guys on and have them all on the show a couple times. But we gave him a bunch of hats and stuff. Just, you know, I'm like, these guys get a million hats, they'll never do anything with it. You know,
they'll never wear them.
It'll go in the hat pile
or the trash.
And then he's like posting TikToks with our hat on. And like talking, like giving women advice, like, you know, don't be a bitch. And I'm like, damn, he's rocking our hat, you know, telling guys not to be a bitch. And then you got Nick Munt wearing our hat, talking about
building
the house. And I'm like, man, this is nuts. Like the coolest dudes ever, you know, the childhood heroes wearing my brand. It's insane.
It's same with me, man. Waddell, when he wears the freaking Turnham red shirt or David Blanton or any of those guys, because they mentored me in the hunting industry, and I got into the hunting industry because of watching their videos. So It's pretty cool to see stuff like that.
It is cool, man. Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast, dude. We really appreciate the hell out of you. And then real quick, I mean, where can people find you if they don't already know?
They can find me on Pursuit Channel. Our main spot is Mondays, 8:30 Eastern Standard, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard. But we're also on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday. So
damn.
Oh, shit.
So pretty much every day of the week.
So pretty much turn on the Pursuit Channel, and we will be on there somewhere. Also, we have every single episode ever made of Red Arrow. If you go to our Red Arrow's YouTube and like and subscribe, hit the notification bell, you can see all our old content for 100% free. So catch up on old seasons or whatever.
That's very awesome. Cool.
We'll link it all in the description if you somehow don't know how to work a computer. But you're here on a podcast, so you know what you're doing.
You made it this far. You can do
That's
it.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. You got it in you. Well, thank you, Kip, so much, man. I enjoyed the conversation. Hopefully we can do this again. And good luck to you this season, brother.
Yes, sir. You guys keep it up. Appreciate it, man.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.